Happy Easter. It's International Clearance episode 20. I'm Joe Walker alongside
I'm
me.
I'm Scully. Here I cut you off. Sorry, I started cutting you off.
It's all right. It's 2 weeks in a row. I like it though. I don't mind. It's all right.
I want to introduce myself, you know? I just want to just be a part of it, you know?
Yeah. I know what happened next week. We'll just both stay silent and then just stare each other down. But together we bring you this show, International Clearance, following, chronicling, talking, interviewing British-born, British-raised footballers, coaches that are plying their trade overseas. And naturally, a few of those go and declare for other countries or play for international teams from their family. And that's what we're going to focus on again this week, as we did last week, because the international break is finished, but we haven't quite returned to the club game at the time of recording the club schedule. So what I think makes sense to do first, Scully, is recap on some of the talking points and the people that were in the last episode. So Jamaica, we mentioned that they got to the Nations League finals for CONCACAF in Texas. They lost their semi-final. They played the United States, went ahead in the first minute, held all the way until like the 94th minute or something stupid, concede, and then it gets to extra time and they're just Hadji Wright, Coventry guy, just absolutely spins everybody. USA go and eventually win it. But yeah,
they conceded in the very literal last minute of the game. Like, you know, commentators say that sometimes. They're like, oh, right. So like, this was literally, the ref had said 4 minutes extra time. Yeah. It was in the fourth minute. And I was just thinking, you were literally 10 seconds from glory. But there you go.
Yeah, it wasn't a completely wasted trip. They don't just go there for one game and then leave. You do a third place playoff as well. Jamaica did beat Panama to come third in the Nations League in CONCACAF this season. The scorer of that winning goal, a player I didn't know about, hold my hands up here, Scully. Dexter Lembikisa, right back, born in London, come through the Wolves Academy, but is on loan at Hearts in Scotland.
Okay.
Right now, he's only 20 years old, but he's already on sort of 16, 17 Jamaica caps, and that was his first Jamaica goal. I'm seeing here, born in London to a Congolese father and Jamaican mother.
Interesting.
I know the music in that household was popping.
The music, the waistline pause, the fashion sense, the fashion. Wow. The family reunions, yeah. White jeans and leopard print shirts. It's a lot going on over there. It's quite interesting he didn't declare for Congo as well. I need to look it up. I wonder who is higher in FIFA rankings, but it's not like a really obvious choice. Maybe I'm wrong, but in my head, it's a lot closer.
So, DR Congo, current FIFA ranking, 63.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica, current FIFA ranking, 57. So, there's very little in it. Very little in it at all. Well, I will say, on speaking about specific players and call-ups, we spoke about Gabriel Osho at Nigeria. I think what we had missed, or it happened after our recording, Gabriel Osho pulled out with injury, so did not get to make his Nigeria debut in those two friendlies he was called up for. But there were plenty of the usual names. I keep saying the usual names of Nigeria because there are so many, but a lot of the AFCON squad that we've spoken about that were born and raised in the UK, they're in that squad and they were involved. Lookman gets a goal, a late winner against Ghana. It won't be a system. Ghana side that has Tariq Lamptey playing half, Antoine Semenyo playing the full 90. Nigeria also lose to Mali. What I thought was interesting between these two friendlies, Nathan Teller is there but doesn't play either game.
Fascinating.
Which I guess it speaks to the reason why he wasn't AFCON in the first place. I know we've told this story a million times about who's ahead of him, but it does speak, even with as good as his club form is, he's still not got preferred to those people because those people haven't let Nigeria down. I think Teller's competing with Lookman, right?
Yeah.
Lookman gets goals for Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So it feels weird to just strike him off. Nathan
Tried and tested.
Yeah. Teller still only has one cap for Nigeria, which he got last year. So it is very much, the competition's pretty fierce there, and maybe a new coach comes in because they've only got Finidi George as a caretaker. Someone else might come in and that changes, but for now, it still seems more business as usual for Teller in the Nigeria setup.
Let's see what happens next year, because not to take us too far away from international football, But with Xabi staying at Leverkusen, I'm fascinated to see who stays in that Leverkusen squad, particularly if Boniface stays, who he's also kind of, he plays with a few people. I know that sometimes Leverkusen play with two up top, sometimes the one, sometimes Teller plays in that spot. Is that, will those two be competing for a spot again at club football and international? Will one move and that make it a bit clearer who gets to play? Interesting things.
Yeah. And kind of the other people we spoke about that need to catch up on from last week's episode, Montserrat. So I don't know if you remember, we're trying to find out who they're actually playing in this camp in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And Blackburn ran a story because one of their players, the Cerino, was going to be called up for the first time, him and his brother. I was correct, by the way, it was his brother at Fleetwood. Blackburn's website suggested they had games against Antigua to play, and I'd not seen that anywhere else. It turns out they were wrong, or they'd got that from God knows where. The training camp in Spain was two exhibition matches against club sides. They were near Benidorm, you know.
I've been there.
Not a footballing hotbed.
There's nothing I want to add to that. There's no stories I want to tell about, but I saw some sick, dark, twisted things.
Yeah.
Didn't see much football. I saw a lot of football fans.
Yes, a lot of football tattoos.
Topless men with football tattoos.
Yeah.
Didn't see a lot of football. Big up them for surviving some time in Benidorm, to be honest. That's what everybody deserves who makes it past.
Well, I think it's interesting. They played two matches out there, but I guess, do you get a cap if you're playing? Does it count if you're playing club sides in friendlies? I don't know if they'll do
surely
that.
Surely probably
just a little behind closed door thing. So those people getting called up for the first time that we spoke about last week probably remain uncapped officially, but they got to know the rest of the squad. Nice little meet up, Boya's boys in Benidorm. Just feels right. They played a team called FC Benidorm, and then there's a club, Costa City, which a club I'd not heard of. They're owned by the Atletico Madrid midfielder, Saul.
Wow.
Yeah, they're like quite low down. And they were beaten 4-0 by Montserrat, so that does speak to the level.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention, obviously we've said before, the Montserrat squad is basically almost entirely British diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to just name the four goal scorers and just highlight them, because it shows you the range of the Montserrat side currently. One of the goal scorers, Brandon Barzi, he's 24, born in Hammersmith, currently a winger for Dartford FC. Mylon Benjamin scored, 19, Barnsley Academy, yet to play for them. Nico Gordon, who I think we've mentioned before, possibly, 21 years old. He played 11 games in the league for Birmingham 2 years ago as a 19-year-old. That he was released, and he's recently signed for North Texas Sports Club, which I think is the reserve side or the B team for FC Dallas. The other goal scorer I wanted to mention is Adrian Clifton, who he's 35 now. I didn't know about him until, do you remember Boreham Wood had a good run in the FA Cup? They beat, they won away at Bournemouth, non-league beating a Premier League side. They did a special piece on Adrian Clifton because he was in prison when Ian Wright did a documentary about prison football and people inside and whether
I don't remember everyone who was on it, but I remember the name Football Behind Bars.
Yes, that's right. So. And Ian Wright being Ian Wright, being like, if I put my arm around a couple of these guys, maybe they sort their life out. And he was at Boreham Wood at the time, 13 years later. And Ian Wright kind of catches up with him and speaks about how's life been. And Adrian Clifton said, you know, I think you mentioned like Ian Wright stuck to his word a bit, kind of being on the other end of a phone, being like, are you really about this? Kind of, do you want to go back in there, or do you want to actually take football seriously? And so I think it'd been like a non-league veteran, just went, took it seriously, played a lot for Maidenhead, but he also had a spell at Dagenham and Redbridge, and of course Boreham Wood, I just mentioned there. He's now at Dulwich Hamlet, but 35-year-old non-league striker playing for Montserrat, and he's got a few goals for them as well. So it's a lovely way to just spend your Easter. Do you know what I mean?
It's not bad at all. It's not bad at all.
I think they've got some qualifiers in June in terms of World Cup, which we'll maybe hear a bit more about closer to then. But the World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF did take place for a select few teams this international break. And these are like almost like the preliminaries. The nations and islands so small, that they kind of have to play off against each other just to get to this stage where they're going to get in a group stage with your Jamaicas and your Montserrats.
The playoff before the playoff before the playoffs.
Indeed. And we'll start with Anguilla, ranked 209th in the world, one place above San Marino.
Gosh.
So we're really talking San Marino's level possibly here. Now, we said San Marino, not one in 20 years. How about this? Anguilla haven't won since 2010. So they're not far behind.
Ooh, yeah, literally 6 years difference. Okay. Yeah.
They did, however, get through a two-legged round of qualifying to get to the next group stage. They had Turks and Caicos Islands, aka Drake and his mates.
Yeah, I was going to say, who is on it? It's got to be Drake, Lil Baby. Future used to be on the team. He's probably been kicked off. That is a crazy, yeah.
0-0 first leg. They draw 1-1 in the second leg. And it goes to penalties. And what do you know? Anguilla make it through. So technically, still haven't won a game since 2010 in 90 minutes anyway. But they've gone through and it's like a massive result in their history. We've given a lot of love to Montserrat for how they approach with the British diaspora. But you can go lower and it's even stories here. That's why we've got to bring it up. The scorer for Anguilla was Luke Paris, a 29-year-old Uxbridge FC defender.
Jeez.
Who, by looks of it, I don't think he's ever had any kind of league football experience. This is just someone that loves playing the game. Uxbridge are not any particular level. But he took their penalty, stepped up as a brave man and took another one in the shootout. The winning penalty in the shootout was by a guy, another person born in England, called Kian Lee Duncan, who's 23 years old. No club, by the looks of it, that I could find online.
That is wild.
Like, had a club last year, maybe, but no sign of him on their website now. No updates anywhere I can find. So there is, for all the, like, it's amazing what Montserrat can do. A place like Anguilla is going to have to dig even deeper. It's funny, actually, Scully, right? Imagine you play for a country that are renowned for not winning games.
Mm.
You probably take book time off. Go, right, I know that we're going to play these games. We'll get eliminated and that's it. If you progress now, you might have to go to your job and say, guys, I didn't know this was going to happen. I need to take another like 6 weeks off because I'm now going to have to play every international break for the rest of the year.
I think you're going to give it to you. I think it's difficult because you're not technically a professional footballer. So obviously me personally, if I'm your manager, I'm giving you time off. Mm. Off just pure ratings. Some managers, probably not. They're probably thinking, yeah, you're having a laugh, mate. We've got these spreadsheets to file for next week. And you're talking about you want to go to Turks and Caicos to kick a ball. It's not happening.
Anguilla go into the second round of World Cup qualification off three. And they will play in their group El Salvador, Suriname, Puerto Rico, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I think two or three of those will fancy themselves to hammer Anguilla. But who knows? I don't really know the level of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So I wish them luck either way. Anguilla and some non-league English players, good luck to you. So looking at the fixtures now, they play each other this coming June and then exactly a year later, they do a round of fixtures. So actually, they might be able to do it. It's not like the grueling UEFA schedule and it's going to be impossible for you to take the time off.
Yeah, I think a year, the annual leave resets.
Yep.
In either January or April, depending on your job. So that's not too bad.
They're not the only CONCACAF minnow that I wanted to mention because there was another game in this international break. It was referred to by some online as the Virgin Derby, hovering just two places above Anguilla in the FIFA World Rankings in 207th, British Virgin Islands. They themselves only won once in the last 12 years. And they came up against the old enemy, the US Virgin Islands. accessible by via, I think, a 45-minute boat between each other. But again, in the same way, Anguilla haven't won in 14 years, but still managed to get through. British Virgin Islands, one win in 12 years. But guess what? They also failed to win and still got through on aggregate in exactly the same way. So
yeah,
1-0 in the first leg, 0-0 in the second leg, and they won on penalties. The reason I'm mentioning this, they don't have what I would call international clearance contingent in their side. There are a lot of players playing for the British Virgin Islands born there who are playing in the South Coast in non-league. So playing in Sussex and Hampshire non-league sides, which I'm, without any further research, makes me suspect there might be a naval connection there.
Interesting.
But, you know, that's just me taking a big guess there. But my main reason for bringing it forward, they are managed by former Arsenal and QPR striker Chris Kouamouya, who is not from the British Virgin Islands, but he's absolutely having a great time there as manager. And he's taken them through to the second round of CONCACAF qualifying. And they will play Dominica, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, and Jamaica. And I think they might get hammered.
That name is Ugandan.
Yes, it is.
He would have been the most famous Ugandan baller if he stayed at Arsenal. But he didn't quite stay. He didn't quite stay there long enough. So it's quite interesting. That's why I'm fascinated. What is he doing at the British Virgin Islands? Like, how did he get there?
Yeah,
I actually don't know what he did after QPR, but I know as soon as we are done recording this, I'm going to go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, he's been their boss for 3 years. I guess because if you're British Virgin Islands, you're having those two-legged tie in the preliminaries, you're losing it most of the time, and then that's it. There's no more. They don't play friendlies. It doesn't make logistical sense. There's no real benefit to it. So they don't play for another 12 months. So like,
so as long as you do a decent job every time you play, like you don't get hammered, you can basically stay in that job.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm just seeing here, Chris Kouamouya played for the England under 21s, and due to the laws were different then, so he was unable to play for the Ugandan national team.
Damn, as I could have used him.
Yeah, still a very worthwhile guest, because not only is he the manager of the British Virgin Islands and making history with them this week, while at Arsenal, he went on loan to Le Havre in France, and then went to Malaysian club Selangor on loan and banged more than the goal every other game. And then he closed out his career with 4 league games at AAB Aalborg in the Danish Superliga before retiring. So this guy likes to travel. That's exactly what we want to
Very
talk about.
Very interesting.
Chris Kouamouya, in case you're wondering what he's up to these days. Some great stories there in the CONCACAF region. There's more World Cup qualifying going on in Asia as well in this international break. Loads of results. I'm not going to mention everybody that played everywhere, but I did want to zoom in on one nation, Afghanistan. I don't think we've spoken about them before. Won 2-1 away in India. They're currently in a third round group stage. Groups of 4, 2 qualify to the next stage, and the top 2 of that group stage qualify for the World Cup. So there's still a fair bit away. Qatar top of this group by quite a way. They're going through to the next round already. The other teams in that group, India, Afghanistan and Kuwait. The Kuwait are a point behind India and Afghanistan. They're level on points now after Afghanistan's 2-1 win in India. Afghanistan, I'm mentioning because they're managed by Ashley Westwood. Not that one. This Ashley Westwood used to play for Sheffield Wednesday and in the 90s and was at one time Kettering Town player manager, but has made most of his name in management in Indian football. So quite ironic that he then leads a national team to India and leaves with the points. Basically bit the hand that fed him, and he might possibly knock them out of World Cup qualifying. Also, naturally, due to the conflict that followed 9/11, meant that there are quite a lot of Afghan people in the UK, and therefore second generations born in the UK to Afghan parents. You're beginning to see British-born Afghan players in the national team. And the squad, although he didn't play, the squad included a 16-year-old called Amin Nabizada, who is on the books at Watford. He has been on the subs bench for Watford this season in the FA Cup game as a 16-year-old. And there's a lovely interview with him on the Watford website where he just talks about the experience. I think it was as much about getting him to enjoy the experience, get familiar with the players, and just feel that whole experience and take it all in properly so that he's ready when the time actually comes.
That's actually beautiful. So this is one of the stories, that these are the kind of stories I love about this pod, because in school, there was a few Afghani refugees, right? And they could kick ball. Like, they could kick ball. So, big up Amin. I don't know much about him, but, like, obviously, Watford is not too far. I'm going to be hoping, checking, paying attention, because I've got a big thing. First of all, I really want to see some Asian ballers, like actual South Asian ballers, come through in the UK. We have a huge South Asian community, and we're starting to see it in analysts and coaches. It's not quite reflected on the pitch yet.
Yeah,
we know it's like probably a generation away, but still not quite there. But it'd be great to see some nations like Afghanistan also break those boundaries.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned there South Asia. Let's go there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking World Cup qualifier now. Let's go to a new series, a FIFA series. I don't know if you're aware of this. FIFA launched a new kind of invitational series of fixtures called the FIFA series. And it launched in this international break. And essentially, they invite various international teams from different continents to play each other. Friendlies, no trophy or anything. But it's like intercontinental friendlies with teams that generally wouldn't have played each other. They're kind of similar level, but they are unlike teams like England will always be busy in an international break.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Most teams don't have the funds or the resources or the interest to go and play teams that are their level around the world. It just doesn't make sense. There's no need for it. Whereas FIFA here, it's a vote winner, I suppose. If they're like, look, hey, we'll pay you to come to this base for a week, 2 weeks, play a bunch of games, learn a lot more about your team because you're playing teams that we think might be at your level, and get some money from us to do it.
I really appreciate you explaining this, because in the international break, I saw the CONCACAF games.
Yeah.
I saw the World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah.
I saw, obviously, the standard friendlies. And when I opened my live score app, I saw a whole bunch of teams playing each other that I had never seen play each other. Was confused. I'll admit to the listeners, I'm not too proud to, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know everything. Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought, how is this happening and why is this happening?
Yeah. Why is South Africa playing Andorra, which was a game, by the way?
Yes, no, it was. I saw.
And incredibly, a game that Andorra drew.
There are some incredible upsets and draws in this.
Yeah. So this FIFA series had a few locations. Algeria had a base of teams. There was a series in Egypt. There was a series in Saudi Arabia. There was one in Azerbaijan. And there was one in Sri Lanka, speaking of Southeast Asia. So let's go there. Sri Lanka, as host, ended a 2.5-year winless run by beating Bhutan 2-0. Sri Lanka, managed by Andy Morrison, used to play for Man City and Huddersfield. And one of the scorers in that Bhutan win is one of our international clearance contingent. Worldston FC, 21 years old, not the Worldston Raider, Dylan De Silva.
I'm sure when he said 21, the first image in their mind was not the Worldston Raider.
Dylan De Silva, born in Camden, former QPR Academy, left QPR to go to Torquay United for a bit, and he is now at Worldston. That was his first Sri Lanka goal. Also in that game, a player we've mentioned before. Do you remember Jack Hinger, the Australian-based player, Brisbane Roar legend that declared finally for Sri Lanka? He played in that, made like a game-saving tackle, according to a report I read. A 0-0 draw of Papua New Guinea doesn't sound that impressive. Beating Bhutan 2-0. You can beat what's in front of you. Bhutan, not exactly a footballing giant, but Sri Lanka are taking whatever they can get if you've not won in 2.5 years. The other team in that group were the Central African Republic, who absolutely slapped Papua New Guinea 4-0. So it's weird. This series, there are four teams invited, but they don't all play each other. Just two of them play each other. Let's just each have two games, and then everyone pats each other on the back and goes on their way. That's the FIFA series in Sri Lanka, because I wanted to mention Sri Lanka again. We're talking about South Asian ballers. In Azerbaijan, there's a few familiar names because Tanzania played in that series. And we spoke about, prior to AFCON this year, about some British-based players that were hoping to get into the AFCON squad, and they did. Mm-hmm. A few of them featured in these games. They played Bulgaria, lost 1-0, which I think is pretty impressive. I know Bulgaria aren't what they once were, but Tanzania holding Bulgaria to 1-0 is pretty good. And then they beat Mongolia 3-0, which probably more likely expected to do that, but Again, you've got to beat what's in front of you. It's the players we mentioned before for Tanzania. Haji Mnoga of Aldershot. Mm-hmm. He played both games. Ben Starkey of Ilkeston Town played 45 minutes of that Mongolia game and assisted the first goal, but yeah, hooked at half-time. And Tarin Alarakia, who plays for Welston, played an hour of that Bulgaria game as well. So quite a strong representation for the Tanzania side.
Welson are really getting their diversity quota.
Yeah, coming up a lot. They're probably really annoyed when international breaks come around. That level you don't get, you know, the league doesn't stop. So they probably lose half their team.
Yeah, that's mad.
One of the we'll go to one more of those series and focus on another team. So in Saudi Arabia, there was a series that had Cape Verde, Equatorial Guinea, Cambodia, and Guyana. First of all, what an amazing set of countries there. Like, I'm already on board with the FIFA series based on what we've discussed alone. There's other competitions I haven't mentioned in this invitational, but there you go.
Four countries I'd love to visit, by the way.
Yep. Guyana, seven UK-born players in this Guyanese squad, and a lot of them played. So there's two Sutton United forwards. One is Stephen Duke McKenna, who's on loan from QPR, born in Liverpool, 25. He played a game. And Sutton and his fellow Sutton United forward, Dion Moore, 24, born in Croydon, so a local lad. He also played a game. Another Croydon-born Guyanese player, Liam Gordon, who plays for Walsall, probably one of the higher-level players in the squad. He played both games that they played. So they lost 1-0 to Cape Verde, which is pretty respectable, given Cape Verde are AFCON.
Yeah, they were doing. They were battling people one up time, in AFCON.
One-time semi-finalists in AFCON. And they smacked Cambodia 4-1. Liam Gordon, who plays for Walsall, and Elliot Bonds, who plays for Cheltenham, born in Brent, North London, they played both of those games. And I think looking at the clubs that everyone plays for, they are both at the highest level. So like, that makes sense. Some of the other players there, Nathan Ferguson, not to be mistaken with the ex-West Brom, this guy plays for Welston. There is a 10.
There's a lot going on in Welston, man.
Yeah, you can actually take a shot every time you say Welston and you might be hammered in this. So he's 28 from Walthamstow, but this was his first call-up for Guyana and he played in both games. So two caps now on his name. Jalen Jones started the Cape Verde game. He's 25, born in Tooting, plays for Avely, National League South, semi-pro. And then Cadel Daniel, who started in the Cambodia win, who I think used to play for Palace, 29, plays for Margate now, but born in Lambeth. I think he might have played at Blackpool once upon a time.
A few local lads.
Yeah, a lot of South London in there. The Caribbean especially, there's particular nations that, at the risk of repeating ourselves, it does make sense to be calling up on these players because the academies, the footballing infrastructure, even at non-league level, is keeping a standard to such that there's no way these players don't improve you.
I feel like we need to get to a FIFA series. FIFA, if you're listening, you know, I see that obviously, like Joe said, you hosted in Saudi Arabia, Sri Lanka. We will come to Azerbaijan. You know, we're not fussy. We're not bougie. We're willing to travel. Our passports are in date. We are just real students of the game. We have a journalistic focus. Yeah. I just feel like there's so much we can learn being out there.
I think out of the ones that they've hosted at so far, I think Sri Lanka would be the most enjoyable trip. maybe the less gold-plated trip, but certainly one with the nicest beaches. And
listen, I'll go anywhere. Yeah, I just want to see some interesting football.
This is the beauty of international football. I know our main focus across the season is British-born, British-raised players and coaches working overseas. But when it comes to international break especially, we can't avoid these stories. We want to pass them on because there's just a lot of us doing great things out there in the world in the name of other nations. But it's fascinating. And it's these kind of odd couples and pairings that the international break brings up, which is why we love it. And that brings us to our final story. Episode 2 of our return series that we're currently in now. Mm-hmm. Our special guest, Motherwell defender Bevis Mugabe, spoke to us about representing Uganda. Played at AFCON a few years ago with them, slowly getting back into their setup, aiming for the next World Cup. And of course, you know, there's a couple of AFCONs ahead, one in Morocco, and then there's one in Uganda itself in a couple of years after that. And if we're actually thinking about, will he be in that squad, Scully? is there a better sign than what happened to him in this international break?
I mean, this has got to be, you know, like when you're questioning, like you said, he was on the show and he was talking about like, I really just make sure I'm in and amongst it and I'm an option and I'm selected and they want me to play.
Yeah.
And he made it very clear that he knows it's no guarantee that he's going to be there starting. He's going to be the first name on the team sheet. He was actually selected to captain the Cranes. That is the Ugandan national team, for those who don't know, for the very first time in a massive, massive game. Obviously, just a friendly against Ghana. But you have to realize, speaking as Ugandan, that Ghana and Nigeria, obviously Senegal, Ivory Coast, these guys are kind of the standard of African football. Yeah, that's where you want to be. Obviously, Egypt, that's the standard. Obviously, Algeria amongst it, Morocco amongst it. There's other teams that I haven't mentioned. But like, if you can go to one of those teams and play them and get a result, you know that you're improving, right? So I was watching at work with bated breath. I was terrified. I was like, please, let's just not get hammered. I'll be honest, I didn't have much faith. You know, African friendlies, they're never usually like, it's never usually a drubbing unless you're getting like a bottom tier team against a very top tier team. Shout out to Jude, friend of the show, friend of mine and Joe's. He's been telling me for years that Ghana are on the decline, and I've vehemently argued about how could you be? You've got all this resource. Yeah. Can't be as bad as you think. I'm starting to believe him.
Right.
Game finished 2-2.
Ghana led. Uganda equalised with a penalty. Ghana go ahead with another penalty, and then Uganda equalised with 10 minutes to go. Ghana then have two red cards in injury time at the end of the game.
Really should have capitalized on that.
It's too late. It's too late by that point. I think the final whistle, one of them was after the final whistle even, but that's still a great result for Uganda, even in a friendly. And a great day in the life of Bevis Mugabe, who...
Very happy for him. Next time I catch up with him, I know he's going to be gassed.
Yeah, leading the side in one of their better results in the last few years. Even though we spoke to him, we've not actually ever zoned in on, I guess because they weren't at AFCON, but we didn't zone in on the kind of international clearance contingent of the Uganda squad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought a really interesting quirk of this game in particular, three of Uganda's back four in this game, they were British-born, British-raised players that play in the Scottish Premier Division.
Shout out to the Scots, man.
So you got Bevis is at Motherwell. You also had alongside him at centre-half, Elvis Bumono, who is at St Mirren. He's 25. Moved to England age 3 and joined St Mirren from Southend United. And then at fullback, making his debut for Uganda, Tony Sibbick from West London, came through the AFC Wimbledon Academy, played for Barnsley for a bit. He's now at Hearts and he played the first 45 minutes of this game. And it would have been up against, it was either Antoine Semenyo or Jordan Ayew, pro Premier League players with goals and assists this season. I can't tell from the fact he was hooked at halftime whether it was just, this is a friendly, welcome to the team, or whether he had like a baptism of fire and had to come off. But you wouldn't hold it against him because that's a big jump from playing against the Premier League.
But, huge jump.
So yeah, three Scottish Premier League players in the Uganda back four, all born or raised in England. There was also another uncapped duo in the squad on the bench, who are both from London. One plays for Charlton. His name is Nathan Asimwe. He's 19 and it was his first call up. Just getting familiar in the setup. 19, his best years ahead of him in international football.
Yeah, it's looking good, man. I'm not going to lie, the future's bright.
Yeah.
Tony's 24, Elvis 25. But yeah, continue.
Here we go. This is my favourite. The second choice goalie for Uganda, Bella Gambi, on the books at Huddersfield Town, has had a series of loans. I think he was on loan at Salford City last season, but as a backup goalie, or certainly didn't play in the league. He's 22. He's had one cap, which was 2 years ago. He's from Croydon. And I love this so much. His parents met while his father, Italian, was travelling from Italy to watch Fiorentina versus Arsenal in the Champions League in October 1999, which I believe was at Wembley Stadium. I think Bastia scored that game.
This is hilarious for lots of reasons. First and foremost, you'd be surprised how many Italian Ugandans exist, by the way. I have two cousins who are half Italian, half Ugandan. So it's a more common mix than you think.
Interesting. What I want to know, like, I've been on some trips as a football fan, right? And you making a weekend of it or a couple of days of it, you can pack a lot in. That is the ultimate away trip. We go to see Fiorentina play at Wembley, which is unusual as it is, win there convincingly, and then I meet the mother of my child, the mother of my children,
like,
while I'm there, and I'm just like, do you know what? I'm not going back. I'm pretty cool. This is, I'm going to settle here. Where's your live, love? Croydon? Oh, hey, okay. We live in Croydon now. Okay.
Do you reckon it's a flyover that sold him? He got there. He said, this is a fantastic piece of engineering. Nothing like it.
He had Pizza Hut in the Wicked Center and said, hey, it's just like home. It's just like they do in
Italy. Back when you could buy it by the slice. Like, what, 199p a slice for another kid?
Their son plays for the Uganda national team and Huddersfield Town. I absolutely love that. But yeah, the larger point there was to congratulate Bevis, a recent guest. But that's, I thought that'd be a nice way to close today's show. That is as far as we're going to go for an international break. Again, very nerdy, very deep diving, but a few names in there, a few stories that we're going to try and keep track of for the next international break, particularly if they're doing very interesting stuff. World Cup qualifications hotting up in different regions. 2026 still a long way away, but there's still at this time a lot of hope for a lot of British-born, British-based players in national sides all around the world. And we're going to try and help you keep up with all of them as they fall by the wayside or continue to progress.
You know what? I hope we're giving people hope. I think that is a perfect word to use it. I hope there is some diaspora kid, some second gen, third culture kid somewhere listening to this, thinking, wow, I can do it, you know? I can actually do it. I've got hope for Uganda's national. I need to go get my coaching badges. I need to do a will still. Let me get on Football Manager straight after this recording. All I'm saying is you've got some talent, 19, 20 right now. Divine Mikasa signed for Man City last season. He was like 15, 16, which means we'll probably see him in about 3 years. So it's all going back. It's all going up. Chris is getting his, he's cutting his teeth in the British Virgin Islands. Maybe I can go and learn off him. It's all going up from here, man.
It's lovely, lovely stuff. Another info heavy one, but yeah, we will call it time there before we get into crazy after hours. We're recording this at gone midnight because we haven't been dropping on Wednesdays or even Thursdays recently, but mind your business, don't worry about it. That's all I can say. I felt like in the seasons past I might have been like really grovelly or whatever. I'm just saying, you want it, you're gonna get it when it comes, all right? Just like,
you got something, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. So you're welcome. And thank you for your continued listening anyway. Appreciate your engagement online, which is where, Scully, as always?
At INTL Clearance. You can find us everywhere at INTL Clearance. That's on Instagram, on the TikTok, and on X, formerly known as Twitter. I have a favor to ask as well. If you're listening to this on Spotify, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review, like it, share it with your friends, tell them to do the same thing, because we're all fighting the algorithm and we need to get the best of it.
We do. We'll be back next week with the club game and what the players are up to all around the world, what Van der Vaart has been saying about Jordan Henderson. But until then, you have an amazing Easter. I've been Joe Walker.
I've been Scully.
And we are going to bed.